So I'm sitting here with Michelle of Align Rehabilitation, and she is really growing and has something coming up on May 3rd.
On May 3rd, Align Rehabilitation will be having our grand opening of our brand new physical therapy facility. We are directly next door to Real Life Prosthetics, who has also expanded their lab as they build out their prostheses. So May 3rd is grand opening. I invite everyone to come tour both my brand new facility for physical therapy treatment, as well as see what Real Life Prosthetics has done with their new lab.
And what time is it?
It's 11 to 2, and then the ribbon cutting is at 11:15.
And so what's the address?
The address is 3435 Box Hill Corporate Center Drive, Suite C, Abingdon, Maryland, 21009.
If you like beer, wine, great music, and unbelievable art, then I have the place for you to go. October 12th from 9 to 4 is the third annual Joppatown Arts Festival being held at Mariner Point Park. There's going to be great train robbery on site there, so if you like the good music, there you go. Also, Who Knew will be playing as well. Alecraft Brewing Company is going to have beer on hand, and Harford Vineyard will be on hand. Also, over 50 artists and crafters. Again, this is the third annual Joppatown Arts Festival. It is a free event open to the public on Saturday, October 12th from 9 to 4 at Mariner Point Park in Joppatown. If you want more information, just go to joppatownartsfestival.com. Again, that is Joppatown, that's with an E, Joppatowne, artsfestival.com. Do you know someone who's experiencing communication issues, either brought on by a stroke, Parkinson's disease, or maybe persistent hoarseness? Or do you know someone who is losing their concentration or memory from a recent concussion? Do you know somebody that actually speaks with a lisp or even stutters? Well, on this episode of Harford County Living, Brian Godfrey and I sat down with a young lady who owns a company called Phoenix Speech Therapy. And what she does is actually sits down with adults and children that have these problems and helps them with their speech. It's, again, amazing that, once I meet these people and they tell me everything they do, some things I didn't think could be done. But after talking to her, it's like, oh my God, there is hope for her. You know, people that run into problems like this, concussions, I never realized that, you going to a speech therapist can help with the memory. Problem swallowing. I never knew that was a problem that speech therapy can also, take care of. I mean, it's just amazing. So if you know of anyone or if you yourself, is suffering from anything like this, give this young lady a call. Like I said, it's a lot of people don't even realize they may have a problem. Or you may not even know that someone you know has a problem. There are a couple little things that you can do to find out. So on this episode of Harford County Living, we have Amy Bland of Phoenix Speech Therapy. So again, sit back, relax, and hopefully you'll walk away with some more knowledge.
This is the Harford County Living Show, voted as Harford County's favorite local podcast, introducing you to local businesses, organizations, artists, musicians, and more. Harford County Living, there's no place like it. Here's your host, Rich Bennett.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Harford County Living. I am sitting here today with a young lady. She is actually a speech therapist. Her name is Amy Bland. She started a company called Phoenix Speech Therapy. And while talking to her before this started, I thought it was just helping people that have had a stroke or other things. But, oh my God, look at everything you do. I didn't realize speech therapy covered so much.
And most people don't. So I think that, myself included, when I first heard about speech therapy, I immediately coupled it with children, right? So a child that stutters, a child that has a lisp, or someone that can't say their R's correctly, that's kind of what I thought about. I had speech therapy as a child. My sister had speech therapy as a child. It's pretty common, and typical
you had
for
speech
that
therapy.
I did, absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so I had articulation errors. I wasn't speaking as clearly. My sister had a lisp. So it is very common. However, when I went to school for speech therapy, of course I worked with children, and of course I'm trained with children, but I was exposed to the world of adults, and okay. that just drew me in immediately. So with the world of adults, you are working with people recovering from strokes.
Right.
You are working with people that have any sort of neurological disease, like Parkinson's disease, ALS, Lou Gehrig's, multiple sclerosis, those sorts of things.
So you're working with them as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And you're also working with people that have COPD, so some of those chronic respiratory conditions. You're working with people that have had some sort of injury. Maybe they had a fall and they hit their head. You're working with people that have voice issues. They
right.
are chronically hoarse and they don't understand why. You're working with head and neck cancer patients.
What?
So, yes. Yeah, so, it is an entirely different world than just the world of children.
Okay. I would have never expected all that.
Right. And many people don't, which is why I was really happy and thrilled that you were, you welcomed me to come and talk about it, because I think that that's half of the concern. It's just the education piece.
Yeah.
Like you just said, I had no idea. And most people don't, unless
right.
you've experienced it yourself, or someone in your family unfortunately had a stroke or one of those neurological conditions, or was in the hospital and they were ordered a speech evaluation.
Yeah.
And on the hospital side, which is where my background is, when speech is ordered, 90% of the time it's ordered for a swallowing evaluation. And so,
huh?
Right. And so you come in, you introduce yourself, and the very first thing is, I can speak just fine. I don't need you. It was nice to meet you, but thank you so much. And you have to explain that swallowing function falls under the scope of a speech pathologist in a medical setting. So what we are looking at is to make sure that you are protecting your airway when you swallow. And that's something none of us think about when we eat and drink, right? So you take a drink of water and you're not really thinking anything about your swallowing. However, I think we've all been in a situation where maybe we were laughing or we were talking when we were eating or drinking, and you get that
yeah.
you know, that sort
or
of thing,
comes
right?
Up through your nose, yeah.
right, right. And you hear people say, oh, that went down the wrong pipe, you know, that sort of thing. And that is what we're looking for if someone's had a stroke or there's been a change in their mental status or they keep having pneumonias and they don't understand why. So something has changed in how they're swallowing.
Wait, did you say keep having pneumonia?
You can have pneumonia if you have a situation where your swallowing has been impaired for so long.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So,
didn't realize that either.
Right, right. So there's so many different ways that a speech pathologist can help. I would say that unfortunately with a stroke, you know, swallowing can be affected.
Yeah.
Speech can be affected, right? The speech can sound slurred or garbled. The language can be affected, meaning the person may sound fine, but they don't really understand what you're saying.
Right.
Or they understand what you're saying, but they can't get the right words out. They know the words in their head, but they just can't find them. They can't get them out correctly. You could have somebody that had a stroke on maybe the right hemisphere and everything else is preserved, but cognitively they're not aware that they had a stroke. They're not aware there's deficits. They're having a hard time with attention or memory or reasoning. So a stroke can really affect so many different things.
Wow.
Because if you think about it, a stroke affects the brain. And
right.
the brain has so many different areas, again, that we all take for granted unless something changes.
Yeah. I never realized, well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they said one of the signs that you're having a stroke is your speech as well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, there's
slur. I was always taught that if you feel like something's wrong, you know, like raise your hands,
right.
smile, and speak a sentence.
That's pretty you know, good.
I always say, I always look in the mirror and
right.
and
check
say
it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is an acronym that they were using recently called FAST.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. So FAST stands for face. Make sure when you smile it's the same or symmetrical, mm-hmm. right? The A is actually for your arm. So you have your arms extended out and make sure no one, one drifts. S is for speech. So say something and have somebody else listen to you or you listen, mm-hmm. maybe. And T is for time. So if there's a suspicion of a stroke, you want to get that person to the hospital immediately.
Yes.
There is a 3-2, I think it's, they're looking at the 4-hour window now, but 3 hours is really what
right.
is the best. And that's because some strokes are caused by a clot. And so the blood is not getting to the brain. And depending on the criteria, sometimes you can, as the patient, receive TPA, which is a clot busting type of medication.
Okay.
And they've seen just these effects from a stroke being completely reversed.
So
there's a certain criteria the person has to meet, but the main thing is to get them in as soon as possible so they have a
right.
chance.
And I think the other thing is, too, because I saw this in the news twice, maybe during the spring or summer, health-wise, you could be very healthy and still have a stroke. There was one a lady who was an EMT, you
mm-hmm.
may have heard about it, and she
mm-hmm.
cracked her neck,
mm-hmm.
heard something pop.
Yes.
And then she had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a young gentleman that did the same thing.
Yes.
And these, I think they were both like in their 20s.
Right. So, I mean, those are kind of the outside
rare.
Parameters.
Yeah,
right,
but
right.
still, I mean, it's,
but
you
it
never
makes
know.
You aware.
How many people crack their neck all the time?
Right. So maybe don't crack your neck as much. You know?
Yeah.
but yeah, high blood pressure, being diabetic,
mm-hmm.
smoking, drinking heavily.
Help.
These are all things, being sedentary, so not really moving around. These are all things that can put you on a higher risk.
Yeah, all right, so you can help them with a stroke, but what about, God, I'm going to forget the name of it, the other one that's a lot of people think it's a stroke and it's not, Bell's palsy.
Oh, Bell's palsy, that's a good, I'm glad you brought that up. So a lot of people think that for Bell's palsy that, you know, speech therapy should be involved because
mm-hmm.
the mouth, or the lips rather, have drooped. Some
right.
people get a lot of like eyelid drooping. And the research for Bell's palsy is actually not to overstimulate those muscles, because when it starts to come back, it can be like a hyperfunction. So our role is to just give some education about some very gentle stretches,
okay.
very gentle movements to really allow the body to come back naturally.
But you still have a role
mm-hmm.
involved in
mm-hmm.
it.
But not nearly as aggressive.
How many people even know that?
I'm not sure.
I know of 3 people, one being my cousin, that have gotten Bell's palsy,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's taken them some time to come back from it.
Yeah, and with Bell's palsy, that's more viral, which
yeah.
is why, you know, the treatment is different. But yeah, so, you know, certainly we have a small role. Stroke,
yeah.
we have a much more aggressive role, largely because the brain needs to heal, and it takes a while for the brain to heal.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that the brain can come back from these areas of deficits are repetition. So it's repetition, repetition, repetition. That's where the therapy comes in, and the frequency and the intensity, and making it something that the person is interested in.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons that I transitioned to private practice, was so that I could, so I'm a little bit unique in that I'm a speech pathologist that travels to the home of whoever the...
So they don't come to you.
Nope. I go to them.
Okay. It probably makes them more comfortable,
yes,
too, I would think.
Yes, exactly. And I wanted to take all the stress away that I could.
Right.
They're already on this journey, and they're already dealing with multiple doctor visits.
Yeah.
And traffic is stressful, and going to one more appointment, and parking, and construction, and, you know, if I can just take one layer away, then their progress is probably going to be better. So I provide outpatient therapy services to people. So I'm not home health. There are some home health companies,
right.
but I'm not. So I see people that absolutely can leave the house, can walk, but I see them as a convenience for them.
Right.
Mm-hmm, and
That's
a way
good.
To decrease their stress. But so one of the nice things is that when I come into your home and maybe you're dealing with, you know, word finding difficulties because you had a stroke.
Right.
And you are in your kitchen. We're in your kitchen, and I can hold up your spoon and say, what is this? And what do you use it for? And show me, you know, the different foods that you like and so forth. And we're in your kitchen. We're not in a simulated kitchen or picture cards or something like that.
It would help, definitely, I would think, would help with the memory a lot more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Makes
so,
sense.
So that's one of the big reasons. But I think that sometimes people get lost in the terms with stroke, right? So, but the main thing for me is just to be that person's coach. And it's a team effort, really.
Right.
So, yes, I'm going to come in and I'm going to evaluate you just so I know what you can do and what's more difficult for you. I'm going to set up a treatment plan with you and your family as to what you want to do, and then also based on what I saw. And then we're going to do this together. And some people, I'm with you for a long time because that's where you're at.
Right.
That's what the stroke left you with. And other people, I'm with you for just a little bit of time, you know, and you're just helping you get back to work.
I think the other thing is, too, you're, and you said the prime thing right there, you're with them.
Yes.
Whereas if they go, like, I don't know, to the hospital or whatever, they could have different therapists coming in. And I think once you get comfortable with somebody, I would think it helps with the treatment.
Absolutely. You have to feel comfortable with the person that you're working with. You're seeing some people really struggle. And, you know, I'm in it with you. I am right there with you. So when you make those victories or those gains where you haven't been able, just last week this happened. I was with somebody and we were working on naming family members.
Mm-hmm.
And she has not been able to name this one particular family member for weeks, months, and it's not that she's not trying, it's just not connecting.
Right.
And last week she did it, and we were both jumping up and down. I mean, that is a victory for me just as much as it is for her. So it's exciting to be on the journey with somebody, and I feel privileged for anybody that says, I want you to work with me.
I was going to say, I bet you probably go through that a lot, especially with the ones that have Parkinson's. And that's another thing that I'm very, I try to help out as much as possible with that. I know a lot of friends, and I've had friends that have unfortunately passed from Parkinson's. But in the same term, I think Parkinson's is making a, has come along as far as the research. Ever since Michael J. Fox got it, it seems like it's
It just accelerated.
Yes.
And, I mean, it comes down to the funding, right? And so, fortunately, he is such a passionate person. He is a celebrity, so he is able to use all of that to keep it moving. One of the things, when I first was trained as a speech pathologist, we were trained to do traditional speech therapy for people with Parkinson's, speech and voice therapy, because my grandmother had Parkinson's. So it does hit home for sure. But the classic presentation is that the person is speaking to you and the speech is a little garbled or mumbled, and then it trails off. So it gets quieter and you're leaning in and you're not quite sure what they said. And they're looking at you like, why didn't you understand what I just said? So there is a program now called LSVT Loud. In fact, I brought a thing for you to see.
Okay.
And I say
this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
And I say now, but it's been around for 25 years, and it is evidence-based, and it is the number, you know, one level research. It's both big and loud. So big looks at how somebody walks, because they have that kind of shuffling, freezing, right? So it gives them big movements. Loud is just that, you know, making sure that somebody can be louder and use their effort levels to be louder. Yeah, so so with LSVT Loud, that's something that I'm certified in, and it's an amazing program for people with Parkinson's, because you're teaching that person how to use their own effort levels to be loud enough. So you're not teaching them to scream or yell or shout or nothing like that, but to be loud enough so that the person understands them. And the crazy thing about this is that even though your target or the only thing you're focusing on is being loud, all of the other subsystems improve. So the clarity of the speech, how fast they speak, you know, those sorts of things all improve just by being loud.
Amy and I think we messaged about it briefly because when I saw your,
your maybe
company,
so.
I saw something about speech therapy. I thought, well, geez, let me see, because that's kind of what happened to him first.
Mm-hmm.
Was his handwriting got real small?
Mm-hmm.
His speech, was he just couldn't get the words out,
mm-hmm.
and now it's to the point he can barely talk at all.
Mm.
It's like one word,
Wow.
It's sad. I called the house and.
So you guys have already connected and they didn't realize.
Well, not in person.
Not in person.
Well, not in person, but messaging still.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I heard you were here, I was like, oh, geez, okay, I've got other things going on. But this, I just dropped it all because I really wanted to hear.
Well, no, I appreciate it. And we were just talking about Parkinson's, and I only brought one, but I have other ones. Can I show it to him real quick?
Go ahead.
So this is LSVT Loud. So LSVT stands for Lee Silverman Voice Treatment. And it's named after a woman that had Parkinson's, Lee Silverman.
Okay.
And her family basically said, look, we know that you're trying to tell us something. And we see how frustrated you are. How can we help you? And fortunately, they had a good amount of money. And she was working with the speech pathologist at the time. And then at the time, the speech pathologist was like, this is what we know to do. And they said, let's try some different things. We're going to give you money for research, for clinical trials.
Wow.
And so that's how it started. Then they had NIH jumped on for funding. Michael J. Fox jumped on for funding. And before you know it, it really picks up. But this is a program that is one of my favorite things that I do because you see somebody, day one, you do the evaluation, and I have a microphone on my computer, and I've measured them 50 centimeters from microphone to mouth, about the distance of somebody, in conversation, and I'm having them do different things, reading, talking, whatever, and I'm measuring how loud they are. That's what I'm measuring. And so 70 to 80 decibels is really, at that distance, is really the normal range for somebody to be able to hear someone easily, right? Not in a bubble or a quiet space. And a lot of these people, when I begin with them, they start in the 60s, which you wouldn't think would be that low, but it's really low because decibels is a logarithmic
scale. 10 decibels can make a big difference.
Right? It's a logarithmic scale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a math person, but I know that that means that it doubles, triples, quadruples, per decibel in regards to how you hear it, right? So it's amazing because that same person that was, 65 decibels in conversation when we started, after week four, oh my gosh, they're at 72 decibels.
Wow.
And they're like, wow, that's awesome. So it is an intense program. And one of the reasons that it works is the repetition. We were just talking about that with the brain. The brain needs a lot of repetitions to make any sort of changes. So it's four times a week for 4 weeks straight, and they're getting homework every single day so that it becomes something that is natural. So not only are they doing the practice drills and exercises, but every day they have something called a carryover exercise. So day one, I would probably say, make sure you use your loud voice when you're, talking to your wife, husband, brother, sister, whoever. And then by day 16, I'm saying you should be using your loud voice with every single person you run into. You should be on the phone,
Yeah.
Go to the grocery store, use your loud voice. So immediately you are taking the therapy and taking it outside of whatever treatment room you're in and making it real life.
Wow.
And that's where it starts to last. Now, at the six-month mark, I asked them to come back for an evaluation, and it's kind of like an accountability check. How's it going? You still doing your homework? Can I still hear you? And it's funny because I call people up, and on the phone I know.
Right.
How's it going? I'm struggling to hear you. Let's come in for an evaluation. And a lot of people just need a one-week boost. They just need to be reminded of, let's calibrate that sound back up to where it was. And they're checking in with their neurologist every 6 months. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like going to the dentist, right? Twice a year, kind of check in, See how everything is?
The last time I went to the
dentist. You're supposed to, right?
He said,
I go every 6 months.
He said to me, he said, you need to help us here.
Like, this is a team effort.
We're doing all we can,
right?
You know, you got to carry your weight.
Yeah. So that is one of the amazing things with regards to research that has come out of, you know, doing all the different research for Parkinson's. So no longer is it, you have Parkinson's, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's, okay, let's get you on some medications. Let's get you in an exercise program. Let's get you socializing. You know what I mean? Because socialization is huge.
Oh, God, yes.
Because Parkinson's wants to bring the person just kind of, like, in. And,
yeah.
You know, you got to keep them out.
We DJ a fundraiser every year for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Gentleman, Ben Hayes, Ben's Tires. And they would bring Ben to the affair and everything. It, you know, he was out there socializing. But, oh, God. It was, throughout the years, you could see how the Parkinson's was getting worse. But Ben was still out there, and everybody loved him.
Yeah.
Everybody. And now, I think, God, so far, I think they've raised, just from a bull roost, I think it was over $70,000.
That's amazing.
So far combined for the three, and it's coming up again in November. And that's one of the ones we actually donate our time to, because we had a member in the club that had Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
I had, well, now, you just told me, and then, I mean,
well, right.
Yeah. And then another good friend that I went to school with, his father had it's amazing how many people you find out have Parkinson's,
yeah.
And you don't even realize it.
It's unfortunate how many people have it, and then there's a number of people that have it but haven't been diagnosed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the number's actually underreported.
But
the progress that you're seeing with it, I mean, the treatment,
mm-hmm.
and how some, you know, a lot of people are getting better from it.
Yeah, and, that,
that's,
you know,
a good.
Another program that is amazing for people that have Parkinson's from an exercise, physical exercise
mm-hmm.
standpoint is Rock Steady Boxing. Have you guys heard of that? So I just observed a class not too long ago. There's one in Forest Hill. I'm sure there are other ones, but in Harford County, that's in Forest Hill. And the boxing class that I observed, it wasn't just boxing. It was all this different agility and balance and coordination. And there was some boxing, of course.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm watching it thinking, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I was so impressed with this class. And the group ends up becoming its own support group. Like this informal support group.
That's good.
You know, cheering each other on. So there's a lot of different resources out there that I think, again, education, just making people aware,
right.
You know, okay, so you've got this horrible diagnosis, but you know what? There are things you can do about it. You can work with the symptoms, you know, until they find a cure, because they're going to find a cure.
Oh,
it's just a matter of when at this point.
Oh, yeah, they definitely will. And again, I have to... I think if it wasn't for Michael J. Fox, the research wouldn't be as far as it is now.
Agreed.
You
agreed.
Know, it's just amazing. Matter of fact, it was not too long ago, a few years ago, I guess he got up on stage with, I can't remember the name of the band now. Got up on stage and played Johnny B. Goode on guitar.
I saw a bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, was
from
it
when he was in, well, he was in Back to the Future doing that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of people thought he didn't play. But, yeah, he got up there and actually played. And
that's awesome.
You got just YouTube the video.
Okay, yeah, no, that sounds like a great idea.
That may not be, whatever band it was. But all right, so you're a private practice.
I am.
So... have two questions.
Sure.
Number one, how do people get in touch with you?
Okay. That's
and
that's an easy part.
Insurance-wise.
Sure.
I mean, how's it?
So I offer a free phone consultation, because I have a lot of people that will call and just say, my doctor ordered speech therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Just kind of how we were chit-chatting about before. Why do I really need speech therapy? And what are you going to do? And what does it entail? And et cetera. And, you know, I'm happy to speak with someone about it. The easiest way is to call me, which is 443-619-7712. I do have a voicemail. The phone will let me know that you're calling. So if I'm able to, I'll pick it up if I'm between clients. You certainly can email me. That's acbland@phoenixspeechtherapy.net. The website is phoenixspeechtherapy.net. There is a contact form. So there's a couple different ways, right, depending on what your comfort level is. And, you know, I have a number of people that I see for voice disorders, chronic hoarseness, and the phone isn't their friend at all, right, at this point. And so emailing is necessary, and absolutely. I mean, all day long I work with communication, so I will take whatever communication modality you feel most comfortable with. I do have a fax line as well for physicians. And that's on the website.
I was going to say, do doctors refer you?
Yes. Yeah, so order for me to see anybody, whether it's private pay or insurance, I have to have a doctor's order. That's a Maryland State Practice Act.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. So if you came to me and you said, you know what, I noticed that I'm always hoarse in the morning, or I notice that I'm having problems with my memory, and I really want you to evaluate me.
Right.
And I said to you, okay, you know, let me just have your order from your doctor. And you said, yeah, I don't have an order from my doctor. I would just ask you to ask your primary care or your neurologist or allergist or ENT or whoever you see that knows about this issue. Can you write me an order for speech therapy? And most physicians are more than willing to do that because they, right, want you to get better or you know, handle whatever that situation is. So that would be, and the order needs to be within 90 days.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's another Maryland Practice Act. So, you know, if your order is 2 years old, dad had this order 2 years ago and I'm just now seeing it. What do? You just call the office and ask them to update the date.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's really not difficult either. But the physicians are the ones that are faxing orders over. You asked about insurance. So I am a Medicare Part B approved provider. So what that means is that if somebody carries Medicare, Medicare Part A covers the hospital stay, covers home health. Medicare Part B covers outpatient services. So even though I'm coming to your home, I'm providing an outpatient therapy service. So that would be under, right, Part B. If you carry Medicare, I have to bill through Medicare, period. That is a law, and that's fine with me. I've enjoyed working with Medicare so far, so knock on wood, it's been a good relationship. I am actually in the process of being approved, I should be in the next couple of days, approved for Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans of Maryland.
Oh, wow.
That's
okay.
The second largest insurance group in Maryland. And I'm also in the process of being approved for TRICARE. So those are probably the three insurance groups that I will stick with.
Right.
If you had Aetna, Cigna, some other plan, I can't think of off the top of my head, then it would be a private pay situation where you would pay me the private pay rate, and I could give you information to try and seek reimbursement from your insurance company. Mm-hmm. So some people do have out-of-network benefits, and they're able to receive that. But at this time, these are the insurance companies that I have relationships with.
Okay.
So, you know, it can get a little confusing, especially if somebody has just been discharged from the hospital and they've been set up with home health. I've had that situation a couple times where they've called me and they said, we have home health physical therapy and home health occupational therapy. We need speech. Can you come in and do speech? And my answer is, when you are finished with your home health, then I can, because I can't come in as a Medicare Part B when you are with home health, which is Medicare Part A. Those are Medicare rules.
Wow.
So you just have to kind of be aware, you know, these little moving targets. And most of the time it's fine, but sometimes it does become a little frustrating, because what if they don't have speech, but they have the other two, but they want speech, but they have to wait for the other two to be finished.
I was going to say, I would think that could hinder the treatment.
So sometimes it depends on the person's plan of care. It depends on the person's endurance level.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they want to set up all three services, but when they get started, they realize, they really only have the energy to do 2 hours a day, not 3 hours a day. So it does end up working out. But yeah, and then I have people that are not Medicare eligible, right? They're not old enough. and maybe they suffered a concussion, and I'm working with them for attention changes, focus changes, concentration, memory, but they're not Medicare eligible, and they carry, I'm going to say Aetna just because that's what's coming to mind.
Right.
But they carry an insurance that I don't, that I'm not a participating provider with. Then that would be a private pay situation and give them forms, you know, right, to reimburse.
So I was curious, you mentioned you take Medicare. Mm-hmm. Do you also take Medicare Advantage plans, mm-hmm, or, you know, simply original Medicare and Medigap plans?
So I do take Medicare Part B. I've not had any experience with anybody coming forward with Medicare Advantage plans. However, you know, I believe that that would be fine for me to take. What has been really helpful, and for those of you that are curious about this, Novitas is the Medicare representative for the state of Maryland, Pennsylvania, and D.C., I believe. And they are very, very helpful, both as a patient or client, as well as a provider with any sort of information, because insurance in general is confusing.
Yeah.
Right? So what your insurance clause says, what you're eligible for, what your benefits are, what deductible has been met. Now, one of the nice things is that I can look and see what your eligibility is prior to beginning, so I can give you that information. But, you know, you as the person receiving the therapy, certainly you can call them too.
Right.
And they make it much less confusing. So don't feel intimidated about calling them, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So
excellent.
I actually did have a question for you, because you talked about you get referrals from doctors,
mm-hmm,
about Medicare and all that. And earlier before we started, you were talking about a lot of your business comes from word of mouth too. Mm-hmm. Do you deal with the VA at all?
So that is on my list, actually.
Okay.
Yes. So I have applied to be part of TRICARE, and I think that once that application is finished and finalized, that will be a big help. But the VA, you know, they have a facility at Perry Point.
Yes.
And they also have one down in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I have a former colleague that works at one of the locations. In fact, I think she might go back and forth. But yes, that is on my list to just let them know that I'm an available resource in the community and certainly can help veterans out that maybe don't want to leave their house or right, would just prefer the convenience of someone coming and working with them in their home.
With the VA, and there are a lot of veterans that, of course, don't go through the VA, because, mm-hmm, whether they be homeless or whatever. But at the same time, there are a lot of people that don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Can you work with them?
So, yes, absolutely, I could work with them. And probably it would be a situation where I work with a primary care physician, too, just to see how they've handled, you know, other medical services in the past.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the reason I ask that is because one of my DJs in the past, he's probably going to strangle me for saying this, he apparently had a mini stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't know. And he was in the hospital for a while, but I think it may have impaired his speech a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure. But he has no insurance.
Right. So it's a matter of, again, speaking to primary care physicians, seeing what they do, seeing if there was a way that maybe he just has the evaluation just to see, where is my speech? Are there any home exercises I can do on my own? So maybe he's just paying for the evaluation. You know, there's different options for sure. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
And right when you started, you said something that caught my attention.
Okay.
And I've been dying to ask you this. Okay, you said you and your sister, when you were younger, had speech therapy, right?
Correct.
Your sister had a lisp.
She did.
Okay, did.
She did.
Is it gone completely?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. And the only reason I ask this is because there's a young lady who does a lot of sports interviews.
Okay.
And you can hear, you know, she's got a lisp, but I think she's one of the best interviewers out there.
Okay.
And I just think that little lisp that you hear now and then, it's, I guess it makes her stand out more.
That might be her identity, right?
Yeah.
Maybe she's fine with it and she has used it to her advantage. So
I didn't know you could actually get rid of it completely.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Wow.
I mean,
okay.
I saw something not too long ago that made me laugh. because I think in our society today, there are high expectations, right? Tell me that you're going to correct this. Tell me you're going to fix this. And, oh, by the way, tell me how long it's going to take for you to fix it. Well, in the world of speech, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, ethically, we're not even allowed to say we will 100% fix you and cure you, because everybody's different,
right?
And there's so many different variables, but we like to set up plans of care. This is our plan. This is what we are hoping to achieve by this state. So what we'll do is we will take something large like slurred speech and say something like, we're going to break it down. And by the end of this month, after we've seen you twice a week every week and you're doing your homework and so forth, you're going to be able to say this sound or this group of sounds in this position of the words. We're really going to break it down.
Right.
80% of the time, it's going to be clear. You know what I mean? Like, that's how we're going to break it down. But we can't guarantee. Nothing's a guarantee.
Right.
So, you know, what I saw was that somebody had asked for another speech therapist to sign a contract saying that they will guarantee this, and if it doesn't happen by that time, they'll get their money back. I literally laughed out loud.
Oh,
because that's not how it works.
No.
You know, so yes, many people benefit from speech therapy for things like lisps or stuttering or word finding or hoarseness or memory, but most people have certain strategies that they rely on, and that's what we are. We're teaching strategies, we're coaching different exercises,
right,
those sorts of things, so that you can fall back on those strategies.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it would be hard too, because like you said, people can sometimes need a reminder,
mm-hmm,
for different things,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
so different people are going to follow your plan better too, not to, you know,
different styles,
yeah,
right, different personalities,
so,
different family,
yeah,
support. Family support is huge.
Yeah.
If I'm working with somebody that is really motivated, but they live alone, maybe they're, you know, widowed, or they just don't have family around,
mm-hmm,
it's much harder for that person to make progress in a quicker fashion or to keep it going, just because they don't have that family or friend support.
Right.
If I have somebody, same situation, but that person is involved in their senior centers and they're going to church or they're going to clubs and activities, they're going to do well because they have a community support. And it's that old phrase, it takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It really does take a village for somebody to overcome whatever obstacles that they might have, whether it be from a stroke or a neurological disease, or they have a vocal nodule or something like that, or a concussion. I mean, there's so many different things,
yeah,
that could happen that could change their communication.
And we've been talking about adults.
Yes. You know,
we've been talking about Parkinson's and, you know, stroke and all that. Do you work with children?
So that's a good question.
I have a two-part question for you, but I'll go with the first part first. Go ahead.
So I work with older children. So I work with student athletes in middle school, high,
okay,
school, college. I guess you wouldn't really consider them children,
athletes,
right? Yes.
So concussions, so, a lot.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So not that you have to be an athlete,
right,
to have a concussion in that age group, but that's who I tend to see.
Okay.
I do work with adults with concussions. I've had several people come in that have had a fall on the ice, and they hit their head, and they deal with the headaches and the balance issues first with physical therapy, so that's like vestibular rehab, and then later on, they start to notice things like, I came into this room, and I don't know why I came in here. And that's all happened to us before.
Right.
But they don't ever remember. You know, it takes them much, much, much longer. Or they can multitask or focus on what they're doing. Or they have a hard time. If you said to me, hey, next week I need you to be at this event, and I said, yeah, that's fine. And then they have a difficult time planning,
right,
ahead. So I see that with kids. Soccer and football are probably the one and two with regards to sports, but I've also seen somebody in basketball, which was an odd situation, but that also was a concussion situation. And these were the kids that...
I would think there'd be a lot more concussions in basketball,
yeah,
just from them falling on the floor and hitting their head.
Or jumping up and elbows coming down.
She actually wasn't even playing. She was watching, and it was a rebound that hit her.
I'm telling you,
really freaky stuff. But there's so many different ways that, you know, somebody could sustain a concussion. And I think that there is a misunderstanding that if I have a concussion, but I didn't lose any consciousness, I'm good. I'm fine. And most of the time, you are fine.
Right.
You know, most of the time, the brain is amazing and will heal itself. But if you notice 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you know, I am still, like, I'm a little slow. I'm not moving as quickly as I once did, or I can't multitask, or why am I always forgetting this? You know, those are typically, not always, but effects from that concussion. And you can't see a concussion on a CT scan. So it is considered a brain injury, but on the milder, like a mild traumatic brain injury. So with the kids, there's this big model of return to play. And it came from the NFL, you know, all of that, which is great. The NFL really brought it, its awareness up to everybody, right? So there's this return to play. There's trainers on the sideline. They're doing the impact testing. They're doing impact testing before these kids start sports, which is excellent. So they have a baseline to compare to. And they're trying to get them ready to go back to sports. But there's also a model that's not as well known called return to learn. And that's getting them back in the classroom.
Ah.
Getting them back to doing their schoolwork.
I think that's more important.
Right. And I mean, you know, I love sports. I was a softball player for many, many, many years. Fast pitch, and now I'm doing slow pitch over 30. But the fact of the matter is that the percentage of people that move on from sports to being professional sports people, and that is their career, is very, very, very small.
Yeah.
You need your education.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, now you figure if you're playing sports, whether it be football, soccer, whatever, you still have to learn. You got to learn the place and everything.
Absolutely.
So the learning part, I think, should come first.
Right. So our society, though, is very heavy on sports. And I just want to make sure that, you know, there's just as much of a priority for this return to learn.
Yeah.
So sometimes, or oftentimes, the way that the plan works is that the person or the kid comes in for an evaluation, and I'll give them, it's called a post-concussive symptom scale. And it's basically like, how are you feeling today? You know, how bad are the headaches? Because a lot of them have headaches, you know. What's your sleep like? You know, so there's a lot of physical things, but then it says, like, how are you able to concentrate? Do you feel like you're in a fog? Are you having any visual issues, balance issues? So it kind of gives an idea as to where they are. And it used to be that with concussion, they would say, now go stay in this dark room and sleep and don't do anything and rest. And recently the CDC has changed those guidelines and said, no, no, no. The brain needs to heal and adapt, but there needs to be a balance.
Yeah.
So, yes, we want you to rest for a little bit of time, but we also want you doing your activities. But you're going to have some breaks in between. So sometimes accommodations that I might recommend for school are after the first hour, this person gets 20 minutes of a break in a quiet room. You know, because school's busy and crazy, lots of distraction. Or he really needs to sit in the front of the class, you know, because if he sits in the back of the class, there's too much going on. He needs to use this type of planner. He needs this. He needs that. So different things. Some people need to wear sunglasses because the light's too much.
Right.
You know, and you start to wean off those accommodations, but that is one of the big changes. So with regards to speech, I would typically see somebody maybe twice a week initially, and then once a week, and then once a month, and then once every 2 months, just kind of checking in at that point. But kids take longer to heal than adults with concussion because their brains are still developing.
Right. With the sports,
and
going back to doctor referrals here, I got to give a shout out to my chiropractor because he hooks, you know, Dr. John Davidson, Ultimate Healthcare, so I had to. But he deals a lot with, you know, athletes from like Towson State, I think the Blast and all that. Have you thought about approaching these teams?
I've not yet go on that route.
Or even wrestling, even the wrestling.
But that's an excellent thought. I have been contacting some neuropsychologists in the area just to collaborate again. Right. I've been collaborating with some physical therapists in the area, vestibular rehab, and working together just to help that person out completely, because it's a whole person. It's not just this one little compartment. And in fact, it's been very beneficial, but I appreciate that thought, because that and given that thought is to actually go to some of the
a lot of people do teams. Because I mean, the NFL, and I'm gonna say it, people laugh at me all the time about this, the NFL has brought it to the front about concussions, and WWE, you know, the wrestling World Wrestling Entertainment, and to the point now to where a lot of these wrestlers, if they get concussions, they're not allowed to wrestle.
Right.
And it's simple for, I mean, one guy was out for a couple years, I believe.
And that's the other thing, that, you know, one concussion can be, you know, detrimental, but if you have concussion after concussion, they are brain injuries. You know what I mean? Yes, they're milder, but they are brain injuries.
And the other thing is with that, too, a lot of people may think, well, their speech is fine. Well, not necessarily.
But it's not just the speech.
It's not the speech. It's the remembering.
Cognitive processing. And, you know, it's usually termed something like cognitive communication abilities, right? So if you kind of think about it, if I can't focus on what you're telling me, or I can't focus on this task that I'm doing, then how can I remember anything? If my focus is off or my concentration isn't working, my memory is 100% going to be impaired. And, oh, I certainly can't plan anything. And, oh, I can't reason that. So they all kind of build off of one another if the attention or focus is impaired.
Right.
And it tends to be very subtle things. I've worked with people who have very, very intense jobs, and they are multitasking like you cannot believe. And speaking to them, you think, why is this person coming to speech therapy? They're absolutely 100% fine. But then when they go to work, they can't do 5, 6, 7 things, phone ringing, email coming in, this and that. And it's those little subtle differences that takes them out of their position. And so it's interesting, because on some standardized test, it'll say, nope, they're within normal limits, but they're not within their normal limits where they were previously.
And speech therapy helps that.
Yes, we try. Or I try.
What makes me wonder now, too, do you think, and you might not be able to answer this, do you think speech therapy could help with, like, ADD or ADHD?
So there actually is a big push on that forefront with regards to kids, right?
Right.
And
well, even adults, you're finding more adults that find out they have it.
Sure. So there's different strategies probably that could help with both.
Okay.
But yeah, you are seeing more of a push, or working collaboratively with some of the different allied health professionals that are either using medications, or the professionals that are looking at cognitive behavioral therapy and how can speech work collaboratively with them so that everybody's on the same page.
Would that be better than the medication?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and everybody has their preferences, and you do have some kids and adults that they really do benefit from the medication, and then you have some that really don't benefit, you know, and you can't make a blanket statement about that. That's each person's, you know, their chemical makeup, too.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I wanted to ask you, and I don't know, again, if you can answer this or not, and I'm just, I'm thinking more or less of children right now in the learning. I see a lot of, I don't know if, and I think I am seeing more people that have it now. I've had a cousin that had it, and I've had friends that had it. Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Can speech therapy help with that?
Mm-hmm.
It can. Do you work with anybody like that?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I have many colleagues that do.
Okay.
And certainly, you know, I can refer people to them.
Okay.
But what they work on is expressive language skills, making sure that that child is saying what they are intending to say, that they are effective in their communication, so that if they're sick, they don't feel good, that they're getting that message across, or if they're hungry or they want to go to the playground.
Yeah.
Again, getting the message across.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I ask that is because I know, you know, like with my cousin, you know, before she passed, it seemed like throughout, I could see it from when she was younger. And she, as she got older, her mm-hmm. speech was getting better.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to yell at me, and I could understand it a lot better.
Yeah, you know, and clarity of speech, too. So it's interesting, because LSVT Loud is piloting some LSVT Loud Junior programs. And it is for kids with Down syndrome, kids with cerebral palsy, you know, those sorts of things, so that their speech is clear.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That is great. That's good, then.
Good stuff.
I'm being cautious not to take us off track in any, you know, down any rabbit holes. yeah, it's the communication, I think. I mean, I'm challenged with it sometimes, or just regular, quote, normal people communicating have challenges with listening or distractions and things. And I know that the doctor probably won't sign off and say, hey, they listened to three words therapy. And interrupted and talked over me for an hour, so you need to go to speech therapy, right? But that's, for me, communication eliminates frustration.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you put it that way, because, you know, one of the reasons that I went into this field is because anyone who can will tell you, anyone who knows me, is that I'm a talker, I'm a chatty Cathy, and I can't for one day imagine not being able to communicate what I want to say
mm-hmm.
or what I need to say. I mean, how frustrating is that, and how upsetting, and your entire quality of life changes, right? So if I can be that person to help somebody get across their message, then I feel like, you know what? That's what I'm meant to do. Because, you know, however that person needs to communicate, I want to be the person to help them. I want to walk that journey with them. So, you know, with some people, you know, I try pretty much with everyone for verbal speech. That's the number one, right? But sometimes that is not the most functional or efficient way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then let's look. Can you write? Can you email? Can you type? Oh, can you work with a computer? Great. Let's do an AAC device, which is Augmentative Alternative Communication Device. It's a computer. It has different icons. It is playing messages. If you press this button, it's going to say, you know, I'm hungry, or you can program it to say, I want spaghetti and meatballs, or whatever. But I'm going to figure out some way, somehow, to get your communicated message across. So, you know, that's my passion. That's why I enjoy speech therapy so much. And I love working with kids, but I have much more experience with adults.
Mm-hmm.
And adults, that's my love, you know, so that's what I work primarily with.
That's awesome. You made me think of my stepdad again with the, because I think that's where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, my mom, and they looked at different machines mm-hmm. and all, and so I was going to ask you about, mm-hmm. hey, what would you recommend? And
sure.
I don't think that's something covered by insurance, but it's so important. I'm sure they'd
be
willing to pay.
It is covered by insurance.
Is it?
It is.
By your Medicare?
By Medicare. Mm-hmm. So look into his plan.
Oh, yeah, I guess it'd be maybe durable goods
durable
or something
medical,
like that.
Durable okay.
medical equipment.
Yes. DMA, yeah. So there's different devices out there, and what I would recommend is for him to have an evaluation to see, because different devices do different things, right? So thankfully, in the world of technology, these devices can do all sorts of things.
Right.
So some people just need a very basic computer where it's light, you know, it's portable, and it's giving basic wants and needs, because that's what that person is able to do. Going all the way up to the level of, this person is able to type. They're able to answer emails and so forth, so they need a keyboard. And by the way, they want to sync it up to their TV and to their lights, and it will control all of that, or answering on the phone. So it's a range of AAC devices. They have ones that, if the person is limited with their hand movement for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
that it will pick up eye gaze.
Mm.
So again, technology is amazing that sense, but you would want somebody to evaluate him to say, okay, these are things that he does well. These are his strengths. These are things that are more difficult for him. He's probably best matched with these type of devices. And then they would have those type of devices, like samples, for him to try out And then whatever device you choose, then you would bring the speech therapist in to work with training and customizing it and involving your mom or whoever else. How do I communicate with him, you know, efficiently?
Really neat. I'm going to look into those.
Yeah, absolutely. You should.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dynavox is a big company. Lingraphica is a big company. They're probably the one and two. There are other ones out there. I like both of those companies. They both put out good devices. Some people like to use just their iPad, which, again, may work for some people, but it doesn't have the level that, you know, most people need.
Yeah, I saw a couple apps that would kind of do that. But
yeah, and apps are great, too. For
so they have apps for everything.
Apps for everything. There's a really awesome app. There's two that I like, Constant Therapy and Tactus Therapy. And I often assign that for homework so that they continue to do homework when I'm not there. But I have a fair amount of people that say, I don't want anything to do with a computer. I just
can you blame
want
them?
To do some worksheets, yeah. And that's fine, too.
I don't want Big Brother watching me.
Right. I will meet you wherever you are. But if somebody enjoys being on the computer, I'll work that in, too. So, whatever it is. But there's great... Any activity can be a language activity.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you can go to the grocery store. The grocery store is great, by the way, because everything's categorized, right? So it's already categorized, and you can do all sorts of different language activities there. You can, I like to bring letter tiles. So it's from the game Bananagrams, and they look just like Scrabble tiles, but they don't have points.
Okay.
You know, or numbers on them. It's just the letters. And so, you know, when we're working on word finding, we'll talk about it. We'll try and say it a couple of times. And then I'll give them some letters and they'll spell it. And the nice thing about the letter tiles, so when you write something, you write it. And then if it's wrong, I've got to cross it out or I've got to erase it or that doesn't look right. But the letter tiles are manipulatives. So you can move them and it's just less frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, so... We do that a lot. So I take all sorts of different games and use them to make it interesting. Like a cognitive attention game. I brought out my old Simon from the 80s. Mm. You know?
Used to love it.
Wow. That's a great one, right? They don't make games like that anymore.
No.
You know? But that is a great one because it's a randomized pattern that you have to recall. There's no language in it. So if you have any language issues, I've just taken that out completely. So, you know, you look at different things. As a therapist, your lens is a little bit different when you're looking at different activities.
Do you look at diet at all?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what do you find there?
So, I don't have a degree in nutrition or anything like that, but just from my experience, I've learned that if somebody is having a difficult time with fatigue or endurance, or whenever I see them, they're having a hard time staying awake or something like that, oftentimes their diet is not consistent or it's not necessarily as healthy as it could be. So I often will refer them to a dietitian just, you know, for that. If I'm working with somebody with swallowing, 100% I'm working with a dietitian because I may be recommending consistency of foods like pureed foods or fine chopped. But they will probably need somebody to say, okay, she recommended fine chopped foods. These are some of the foods that you can have that you're going to get the best bang for your buck with regards to eating because we know your appetite isn't that great. And then the other area I look at when I'm working with voice patients is how much water are you drinking a day? Mm. How much caffeine are you drinking a day? Because that plays into dehydrating that area. So, yes, I absolutely am looking at it, but I'm not necessarily making hardcore recommendations. If I think that person would benefit from it, I'm going to send them to the dietitian.
Makes sense.
Because it's a team. It's like a village, right? It's a team approach.
I wanted I imagine it's like anything else. I mean, I like to eat certain things because they taste great.
Sure.
But then I'm not thrilled with all the consequences. So
yeah, like your habanero peppers?
Oh, I love those. They're
great. He makes some killer habanero sauce.
Well, you know, Lynn and I just did is a batch of pickled jalapenos. Never did that before. So, we, you know, the recipe said wait 3 weeks. So I'll let you give you a bottle.
I'm going to be his guinea pig.
There you go.
So I asked about diets, you know, because my wife is an avid reader, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, she read some books years ago that said certain things, and we started making small changes, and I'm by far perfect. I'm not ever going to get to perfection.
No.
But I do notice differences. Mm-hmm. Like, if I, you know, we do the best we can to not eat white sugar, like processed sugar.
I don't eat sugar.
Now, it's really addictive, so sometimes mm-hmm. I'll put some on my cereal and eat it before I go to bed. Okay, full disclosure. However, like if I eat a bunch of ice cream or just sugar in general, you almost have like a hangover. I get more achy. I get more pains.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I love eating that stuff, but I'm going to do it so often. So that's my own experiences. But
no, you're right. My husband and I did the same thing with like the clean eating and 100%, you know, notice changes. But what we have agreed upon is just balance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if we know we're going to a party and there's, like, I'm a sweet tooth, so I'm going to be at the dessert table. And he's probably going to be, you know, more of the savory type. But we're both going to overdo it a little bit that day. But then the next day we're going to go back to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just having that balance. And I think that's important because nobody's perfect.
No.
And that's a stressful place to be in, right? To feel like I can't mess up, you know, I don't want to, but you have to find what works for you. So there's so many different diets out there, right? So you have to look and say, does this work for you? Does this not work for you? People that benefit from pureed foods because, you know, they don't have the ability to chew the food completely and they're a choking risk, or maybe they don't have teeth or whatever the situation is, you know, trying to make sure that that food is as appeasing as possible, you know? So I often say, if they're on that level, hey, you know, what sort of spices do you like? Do you like garlic? Do you like habanero, you know, or chipotle or something? Let's kick it up with the flavors so that it's not like, oh, I have this scoop of mush. You know, like that's, nobody wants that. That's, you know.
Put it in a smoothie.
Right.
Makes it more appetizing, or it looks better.
Right. So, you know, just looking at different things. And they're coming out with new things too, like different molds that look like carrots. But it's all pureed, you know what I mean? Like that sort of stuff, so.
I love the Vitamix blender. That's what we use for shakes and things. Because a lot of times
I'm not hungry. We have the Ninja, but same idea. Yeah,
same deal, right? Just throw a bunch of good stuff in there, mix it up,
good.
And you know, frozen fruit. And
whoever thought we'd be drinking baby food when we got older?
It's the circle of life,
hey,
man.
As long as you put some chocolate chips in there, it's good. Yeah.
God, you just ruined my appetite there.
Well, I'm thinking
that.
Like the fruit smoothie. I'm not thinking like carrots and stuff.
Oh, so I'll
is that
do
what
either.
You do? You do like the
I do either
ones?
Or.
Oh, I only do the fruit ones.
Oh no, I do.
It would
or,
be frozen fruit for the, you know, to make it like more like a milkshake consistency.
Frozen
a
banana.
Scoop of
banana
are good.
Frozen banana is the way to do that.
Yes. Actually, Lynn has some because
that thickens it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so scoop of like protein shake and then. Little bit of almond milk, some water, maybe some ice.
Yep.
Almond milk,
and then chia seeds, cinnamon, maybe some turmeric, whatever.
Yes. Yeah, definitely that. But no, the protein powder, get away from
that.
Yeah, I was doing that. I mean, but the protein powder can actually cause more problems.
Hmm.
Then it can't help you. What I do is, how did we get on this subject?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this kind of took a little bit of time. That's all right.
No ice. I'll do the frozen banana, and then kale or spinach, yogurt, almond milk, chia seeds, or flaxseed powder. Mm-hmm. Not the flaxseed.
Yeah,
flax
try the because your the body
seeds.
Won't absorb it as well.
Yep. Chia seeds taste better. I've tried putting them on my head and added water, and it's not the same as the chia. But it doesn't work.
But it worked on your face.
I used to love
yeah,
the
apparently
chia.
It's very, God.
Right, Santa?
Yeah, oh, shut up. Amy, once again, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. It has been so much fun being here with you guys. So thank you so much for a fun conversation.
Well, thank
you. So my website is phoenixspeechtherapy.net. And my phone number is 443 619-7712. And for those of you that are curious, my husband and I chose the phoenix as our symbol so that anybody who is experiencing any type of difficulty, whether it's communication or swallowing, that you can overcome it and that you will move forward. So that's why we chose it. Although I know some people were thinking, you know, I have had a couple calls from Phoenix, Arizona. but I have on my website that I'm in Maryland. So,
well, there is a Phoenix, Maryland.
There is a Phoenix, Maryland, which I serve. So I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but I serve all of Harford County and some northern Baltimore County areas. So, and I've also gone to Conowingo. So a little bit of Cecil County, too. So anywhere within that, like, 40-minute drive time is what I'm looking at, okay, at this time. So, yeah, but give me a call if you have any questions about anything speech-related or you're just curious or maybe you're curious about going into the field of speech pathology. I'd love to work with new grads and mentorship as well.
Great. Well, thank you awesome. So much. And, Brian, yeah, thanks for, even though you were late.
Thanks for inviting me 2 minutes before it began. I really appreciate it.
Oh, geez.
Good
I'm never going to hear
it on TV.
I'm never going to hear the end of it. God. Once again, if you would like to be on the Harford County Living Show, it is free to come on, and I encourage anybody to come on. People are interesting. Everybody, as Molly said in the one podcast, everybody's got a story to tell. So I welcome you to come on and tell it. Just contact me at podcast@harfordcountyliving.com or call me at 443-982-0250. And
thank you for listening to this episode of Harford County Living. You can actually go to harfordcountyliving.com and click on podcast. And from there, click on the episode and there are links to our guest and our sponsors. And I encourage you to please visit them. Again, it's harfordcountyliving.com. And click on podcast. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast from there as well. You also see a banner there that says Buy Me a Coffee. And if you click on that, you can make a contribution to the Harford County Living Show so we can keep this going. You can do either monthly or you can do a one-time fee. And what we're going to do at the end of each episode is mention all of those that have contributed so far. And so far, the ones that have made a contribution through Buy Me a Coffee are Robin Burke, Lyle Garrity, and you've heard him on the show several times, Carol Garrity, Rhonda Erb, who was actually listening up in Canada, Kathy, Cindy Skilton, Natalie Forrest, someone that's anonymous, of course, Malgorzata Baker, and we have a monthly supporter, Recreating Wellness.